Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 35 of Season 7 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is my good friend, Jim O'Kane, the godfather of the Movies by Minute community. Welcome back,
when you call me Jim. The godfather, I keep thinking I should just stuff cotton in my mouth and sit back try to turn a tomato into vampire teeth or something. But thanks for having me on for this week, Rob. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it really has. You've enlightened me as you always do. You know, and it's always fun talking with you. So thank you for joining me once again. So minute 35 begins with Zeus angrily driving off and ends with John once again getting frustrated. So we ended things yesterday with Zeus being mesmerized by the beauty of the World Trade Center, and having that ruined by some snotty businessman, you know, jumping in the back of the cab and basically pissing him off that he now knows he needs to, you know. He pisses him off to the point where Zeus decides that he's going to make this guy pay for everything that he's saying and doing. And, you know, this minute begins with Zeus saying to him, "You got it." We just see the car just speed off.
my head canon for this is he's going to go meet Patrick Bateman, you know, Christian Bale's character from American Psycho. He's just going to wind up in a plastic bag somewhere. So it's like somehow there'll be justice in the world. But that's years in the future, so I guess it won't be.
It's not that far ahead in the future. So
that's true. Yeah.
What was it? That's 2001, 2002, something like, or maybe 2000.
Yeah, but it's sometime in there. Like, again, I think it was about 2000. I think the World Trade Center was still up. So, it happens right all in that. I think it might. Some of it happens on Fulton or Nassau Street. So I think it's right around where he was getting in that. Maybe he just had a meeting with Patrick Bateman, so we'll see. It's just not his day.
You never know. No, definitely not. Definitely not. So then we get a shot of John back in the subway car, and we see him checking. He's looking in the overhead compartments. He's looking, under the seats. He then leaves the car that he's in and moves into another car. And, you know, in this one, there's actually passengers that are there. And, you know, he's once again checking above and below the passengers and really annoying people. And John goes, "Come on." And he goes, "Move your legs, sir. Get your legs out of the way. Sorry. And there's even like a woman that gets like hysterical as he starts checking under her seat.
Yeah.
You know, which is typical. You know, you have someone who's a little out of their gourd with this type of thing. But they only give us about 15, 20 seconds of the whole thing. And then the shot changes and we're back with Zeus. And we see from outside the taxi speeding along. And then it stops short right in front of the main Wall Street Plaza. And as soon as the cab stops, Zeus is already running out and goes towards the subway station in order to try to get in there. And he looks at his watch as he's going down and he starts running down the stairs and he bumps into someone and goes, "Hey, excuse me." And then they give us a few second shot of this man, that was in the cab, you know, sitting in the back seat, scared out of his mind, clutching the briefcase, basically just scared from whatever ride he just got. And I mean, they do a great job of just giving this dust just for a second, you know, because we didn't see the drive itself. So what they're basically doing is they're letting us use our imagination as to what Zeus did here, you know, how he drove, how fast, and what would he have to do to make this guy? That's right. What would he need to do to make this guy so scared? Because, I mean, as you mentioned yesterday, it's not that far of a drive.
Yeah, no, it's an easy trip. And this guy is used to being pampered, apparently. I mean, people would do as he said. And so maybe, and the other thing I was thinking was, if he said, get me there. And so he might have thought that Sam Jackson was getting him there as fast as possible, and he shouldn't have. Be careful what you wish for, maybe, was what, get me there, I'll have your badge. And accepting the mission, sir, and just off we went. So he might be rethinking his life about how he asks for things. I mean, a little bit more specific. Gently take me to 112 Wall Street.
That's right.
No rush.
Don't go over the speed limit. we know that the drive from 72nd and Broadway all the way to Wall Street, which, again, it's ironic that this man wanted exactly where Zeus needed to get to.
Yeah.
They didn't even acknowledge that part. Zeus might have just said to himself, oh, well, I'm going there anyway. It was more that this is on the way.
Yeah.
This type of thing. That's the impression we got is that it's on the way. We'll never really know, but wow. He didn't have that much time to get there anyway. So maybe it was a 5-minute drive or whatever it is, but he did it in record time also.
Yes. I was just looking.
Wouldn't it be funny if in this movie, if Zeus and John throughout the entire movie are comparing records, John said, I got from there to there in 3 minutes. He's like, oh, well, I got there to there in X minutes and stuff like that.
I was just looking up on Google Maps, if you're at the Plaza Hotel, which is where we were at the beginning of this week, and you wanted to get to 112 Wall Street by subway, it would take you 28 minutes. So he should have just found another. He should have just gotten on the another number three, and he'd be right behind him. But I guess he's
that really wouldn't work if the train's going to blow up.
That's true. That's true.
We checked that last week also. The amount of time that it would take is just too much.
Yeah.
Which again, we'll talk about, I think, next week or maybe the week after, as to, the fact that, yes, it is. It theoretically was impossible. Not for John McClane, but, for any normal non-superhuman great lifting person, then the shot changes. And first of all, according to the subtitles, there's something really strange that's going on when this guy is sitting in the taxi cab. We just hear numbers, okay? And I mean, I listened to those 3 seconds numerous times to see if I can catch it, it's just numbers. We hear them say 182-3405. So I've absolutely no idea what that means, but it's just very strange that the dispatcher or actually maybe it's still the 911.
Oh yeah.
Station that's saying it or something like that. Again, I don't know what it means, but it's just interesting to think about. And then the shot changes.
Usually they're announcing the time, but none of those seem to. I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so none of those numbers seem to. Relate to what time it is.
Right, true. And then the shot changes and we see Zeus entering the station, and you see, first of all, there's some really cool stuff that you can see. First, we see a digital clock above him that says that it's Tuesday 10:18 a.m. Unfortunately, it doesn't tell us the date. It still just tells us it's Tuesday, but at least now we know that this is taking place on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know beforehand either. John got drunk on Monday night. That's what it comes down to. And you see also above him an ad for TDK, which says, before you write, think TDK. Which I don't really know that I understand what that means, because, I mean, TDK is, at least for me, it's a company that created cassette tapes.
Yeah, that's how I picture it, that TDK.
So instead of writing, then you should record yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you know what TDK stands for?
I think the first letter is Tokyo, but I may be wrong.
You are correct. It's Tokyo Denki Kagaku. I have no idea what that means, but that is what it stands for. And it is a electronic company. Now, do you, sorry. Okay, so actually, now I did find what it is. It's Tokyo Electric Chemical Industry.
Ah.
That's what it is. Do you know when it was founded?
I would think earlier than I would imagine. I'm guessing that it's something like 1870 or something.
No, 1935.
Oh,
1935.
okay.
But
But.
on a very interesting day in 1935, December 7th.
Ooh,
Yeah.
well. December 7th was just another day back in 1935.
Yeah, that's true. It's 6 years early, but it's just funny that it's
Yeah, of all the
Japan
days.
and yeah, exactly. And what they were a manufacturer of iron-based magnetic material ferrites, which had recently been invented. And then in the 50s, they began producing magnetic tape with compact cassette tapes being manufactured in 1966. And then they end up creating videotapes, CDRs, recordable DVDs, and the company was actually sold in 2007 to Imation, and they opened a U.S. office in 1965, European offices in 1970 in Frankfurt, and I mean I just remember I used to always buy videotapes and
Yeah,
cassette tapes, and
you
I
always get
always
like a
liked the
six
CDK
pack.
stuff,
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
they didn't flake or anything like that. I'd get them and Polaroid, I think, were the two that were my go-tos.
Yeah, okay, that's right. I remember that I used to have the Polaroid videotapes also, the whole thing. Interesting. So yeah, they ended up getting bought out, and they actually have a museum. There's a company museum if you're ever in Nikkaho, Akita, Japan, and it's a free museum that basically tells the history of the company.
Wow, I wonder if it's available on videotape.
The question is, how would you watch
Yeah, that's true.
it?
If you well, there's a museum across the street that has a it's the JVC Museum.
Ah, that's true. That's true. And then Zeus runs across the terminal and end up jumping over a turnstile. Okay, now, do you know other names for a turnstile?
No.
So a turnstile is either a turnpike, a gate line, a baffle gate, an automated gate, or a turn gate. And
It's also a Billy Joel album,
that it
Turnstile.
is. That it is. It's a great Billy Joel album. It's a form of a gate which allows one person to pass at a time. You can configure it that you can only go in one direction, or you can have it that you can go in either way. Sometimes if you insert a coin or a ticket or a pass or security credentials and things like that, those are the way to move through them. They now have turnstiles that deal with biometrics. You have them with retina scanning, fingerprints. They now use these for different types of public transport for sometimes pay toilets, or places where you're trying to restrict people from moving or going places and stuff like that.
Wow, I'm trying to imagine a turnstile restroom. That must be.
No, it's a turnstile to get into the restroom.
Oh, to get into the
It's
restroom, yeah.
not, yeah, it's not, I don't think the toilet itself is a turnstile.
Yeah.
That, no,
Makes the stall
doesn't
kind of,
sound,
yeah, sort of
yeah.
difficult. Place to hang your
Yeah,
coat, maybe.
possibly. Is jumping a do you believe that jumping a turnstile is truly illegal in New York?
I would think so. I mean, he's not a police officer, so definitely it would not be a legal thing for a civilian to do.
Right. So jumping over a turnstile is known as fare evasion, and it is in fact a crime in New York City. There have been numerous initiatives to try to decriminalize this offense, but bottom line is that you basically have to pay a fine for
Oh, okay. I don't think
it.
it's. I mean, I don't think they're gonna handcuff you though. Or maybe they would. I'm not sure. It's
Right.
Yeah, it seems
Right.
well,
It's it's
that's
comparable.
next
It's
week's show, but I
comparable.
think
It's comparable to the idea of basically getting a parking ticket. Basically it costs you like $100 or something like that to do it, but to pay for it. But many people will try to appeal it and try to get their way out of it. I don't really know how you can, you'd have to have a really good excuse. And I don't think the excuse is going to be, I jumped the turnstile because there's a mad bomber that told me that if I don't get there by 10:20, it's going to blow up.
Yeah, you better bring lots of Exhibit A and Exhibit B, or call John McClane in as a character witness.
That drunk? Come on. Who's going to listen to him?
Man with a hangover, come on.
Seriously. At this point, as he's jumping over it, we see that there's a transit cop that sees him and screams, "Hey!" He keeps moving and he gets to another digital clock. And it says 10:19 and 11 seconds, 12 seconds. And then it says Eastern Daylight Time. Now, do you know when the Eastern time zone began the idea of daylight savings time?
I'm going to guess 1883.
1966 is when they introduced the Uniform Time Act, which specified that daily savings would run from the last Sunday of April to the last Sunday of October. Then in 1987, they changed it to the first Sunday in April in order to have it start a little bit earlier. Yeah, I actually thought it was a lot earlier also.
Yeah, I thought it was like concurrent with the foundation of Standard Time. But 1966, that's in my lifetime. That's very unexpected.
Yes. How many states do you think are in the Eastern time zone? Of the 50 states, how many are there?
Let's see. Yeah, we go through the middle, even half states like Tennessee, because I know it goes through half of Tennessee. Let's see. Well, there's the 13 colonies, then there's Florida, Alabama. I'm going to go with 19.
17. You're very close.
17, okay.
Sorry, I should have amended the question. It's how many are entirely located
Yeah,
within
you can't count Tennessee, and you can't count Kentucky because it goes right through the middle of both states.
Right. Well, there are actually five states that have part of their state in the Central Time Zone as opposed to
Yeah,
the Eastern Time Zone.
Indiana
Can you
is.
okay, Indiana? So far you've gotten three.
Okay,
Indiana,
Indiana, Kentucky, and
Kentucky,
Tennessee.
and Tennessee. What are the other two?
And let's see, going down. I'm actually going to be driving through some of these tomorrow. So let me think. Indiana,
You've been saying that
Maryland.
all week. I don't know whether to believe you.
I'm getting ready. I need some time to prepare. I would say somewhere in the. Oh yeah, of course. Florida and Alabama.
No, Florida is correct.
Yeah, that's very tip. So above that would be, above that is Alabama.
No,
Alabama.
Alabama is completely in the central time
In
zone
the
according to
Central Time
this.
Zone. Okay, so Florida. Yeah, so
Unless,
Florida.
but there are certain areas of Alabama. There's Phoenix City and some other communities in Russell County that observe Eastern Standard Time. It's because they are
Okay.
close to
Yeah, they're right there, like Orange Beach and stuff like that, Muscle Shoals.
So, all right, now do you remember my home state? Because my home state is the answer for this.
You're Michigan, right?
That's right. Very
Yeah.
good.
Oh, okay.
So
Yeah, the UP and all that.
the UP, the Upper
Yeah.
Peninsula
I wasn't thinking far enough north. That's what it was. So
Exactly.
does it go down like the side of one of the lakes? I'm just trying to picture where it cuts through. It must be something I'll have to look at a map. I'm doing this with, I'm doing this without a map. I'm just trying to be fair.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Right. So, at this point, we see that there's also a stock ticker on top of this clock, which blew me away. That they're that you know, I mean, it makes sense. They're in Wall Street.
Yeah.
So,
How much what
but.
was the what was the what did it say what the Dow was at the time?
It doesn't show the Dow, but it shows some of the others. I don't know enough about the stock market to tell you which companies are listed there, but I could tell you the digits, and you can tell me if you're familiar with any of them.
Okay,
We have UKM, MRO, URB.
I don't know any of those. Sorry.
yeah. UFC is another one. Something SH. Can't really tell what it is. It sort of blocks out with what it is.
Yeah.
But again, it's interesting. It's an interesting touch because my assumption is this isn't really filmed in the station. So do you think it is?
I don't know any of those. I don't know any of those stocks. That's interesting. I'm still back on. I was just looking at time zones and time zones. I did not know that the time zone runs down the middle of Lake Superior.
Ah, okay.
And so you should
be careful when you're fishing on Lake Superior. Yeah. There you go.
What time did you get to this fish, sir? You can't fish after 6 o'clock. Well, I was on the west side, so it's only 5.
Interesting. Right. So at this point, Zeus looks over and he sees the bank of phones that he needs to look at. He needs to go to, and he sees like a businessman getting ready to start picking up the receiver. And then the shot changes again, and we're back with John, who is frantically still looking around this subway car, trying to figure out, you know, what he's doing. And you just get this look on his face of someone who's really, really frustrated. And that is how we're going to end this week.
Wow. Well,
people are going to have to come back on Monday to find out what happens with frustrated John.
We do want to talk about those subway cars that John's in.
Sure.
If you notice that they're all red, they were known as Redbird cars. And at the time of this recording, 1990, or not the time of the recording, the time of filming the movie, 1994, they were all retired. The MTA had a lot of extra cars because they had all been replaced. These Redbird cars that they were named by after their paint had been built between 1959 and 1964, and they were all getting retired. They actually retired them from 1989 to 1993. They got rid of all of them, but these were just laying around in the train yards, taking up space. And then the MTA figured out they could rent it out to movie companies to use the old subway cars and not interfere with the regular rolling stock that they've been using. They were built by the St. Louis Car Company in St. Louis. The two types of cars that are out there, there's the R36, which is a paired car. The car, there was this wobbly floor, which was the connection between two of the subway cars. And then there were individual single cars that would be attached. They were shorter, but basically they were half the size of the doubled cars. They sold the last one. The MTA sold the last one at auction for $250,000 in 2022.
Wow. And
the rest of them, they turned over to a consortium that tries to build coral reefs, and 714 of these Redbird subway cars, and probably some of the ones that we're seeing in the movie, were sunk off the coast of Cape May, New Jersey, to form a natural reef, and they were dropped in there in 2001.
Wow.
They had a total of 1,950 subway cars that were in the fleet, that they got rid of all of them. And they've been sold to some private owners, people that want to own their own subway car. I mean, it's kind of hard to drive anywhere. You need a 700 volt power supply. I guess you could run your own lead, get a big Tesla battery or something like that, put it in the floor. But there's people that own their own subway cars, and these are very popular for people who buy. They don't want a model train; they want a real big train. So.
Oh, wow.
Interesting to see this little piece of history of retired cars going through the McTiernan verse.
That's right. Oh, wow. Thank you for adding that knowledge to this show. I appreciate that. All right. So the script. So it starts off with the light turns green. Zeus floors it. The taxi sprints through the intersection. The train is rocketing through the back to the train. The train is rocketing through the tunnel. McLean comes to the doors connecting two cars. It's not very crowded. Some stockbrokers, a few ladies. He moves down the aisle, stooping low, looking underneath the rows of molded fiberglass subway seats. He pauses, looks up at a lady. She adjusts her legs. She thinks he's trying to look up her dress. McLean suddenly moves the length of the car, goes through doors into the next car. Shot of Wall Street, World Trade Center. The streets are filled with 5 o'clock commuters. We hear an engine gunning. The taxi roars up at 50 miles an hour and careens to a curb. Zeus gets out and runs down the steps to the Wall Street subway station. The business guy is in the back seat, staring straight ahead, eyes like saucers. One can only imagine what the rest of his trip was like. Back into the subway station, one of the larger stations in Manhattan, distinguished by a huge digital clock and even bigger digital stocks and bonds quatrain, both of which hang from the ceiling of the train platform, giving Wall Street commuters up-to-the-minute market prices. At the south end of the long platform is the Wall Street News kiosk. Next to that is a public telephone. At the turnstiles, Zeus runs up the turnstiles and jumps over one. A transit cop eating a donut sees him. Hey! Zeus doesn't look back. He keeps right on going. The transit cop hops over the turnstile and gives chase. Zeus runs through the crowd, smashing into people like a pinball. Overhead, the huge digital clock reads 5:18. Zeus reaches the payphones by the news kiosk, huffing and puffing. A businessman stands in front of the phone, fishing for quarters in his pocket. Back to the subway train, McLean is frantic now, moving down the aisle of the car, looking under the... And that is where we're going to leave people till Monday. Every Friday, we have a segment called Name That Movie, where the idea behind it is that, you know, this movie, the original title of Die Hard 3 was Simon Says. So I went and looked up a whole bunch of different movies to try and find out what the original name of a movie was. Some of them are fake names. Some of them are real names, you know, fake titles that were used during production and stuff like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name, the original name of movie, tell you what year it is, and you have to try and guess what movie it is. And you have three lifelines. I can give you the name of, I can give you the name of an actor. I can give you the name of the director, or you can then ask for another actor. All right. I think you're going to do pretty well here.
To me.
I think you're going to do well, Jim. I think so. So a movie from 1982 called Night Skies.
Night Skies. E.T.?
Yes. Very good. See? Okay. You're
okay. Okay. That was, yes. It was also known as A Boy's Life, if I remember correctly.
At least don't might have give been away things that are going to be in future episodes.
Oh, okay. You can edit that part out.
Yeah, don't can't give it all away. I have some movies on here that have like 10 different names, you know. So,
okay.
But that's fine. All right. So the number two from 1959. Okay. The original name of the movie was Not Tonight, Josephine.
Tonight, Josephine. Was there a Napoleon movie back then? I think. The only 1959 movies I can think of are On the Beach and North by Northwest. So if it's not one of those, can I ask for the director?
Billy Wilder.
Then it's Some Like It Hot.
Yes, it is.
Of course, Josephine. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Now we will move on to 1968. All right. How the Solar System Was Won.
Oh, 2001.
Yes, that's correct. 2001, A Space Odyssey. 1958, From Among the Dead.
Oh, Vertigo.
Correct. You see, you were worried about nothing.
Okay, yeah. Like, wait, I know these ones.
Okay, now your final one from 1977. A roller coaster named Desire.
I'm thinking it's not Ice Castles, and it's not Manhattan, and it's not, I don't think it was Star Wars.
Manhattan was 1979.
Oh, okay. let's see, 77. The Sentinel. Okay, I already asked for the director. Wait, can I ask for a star, or that's too easy?
I'm not going to give you the main star.
Okay, let me have a. Can I get the studio?
The studio. Ooh,
I don't know. Okay, sure. If you give me the director, I might know it, but I'm not sure.
If I give you the director, you're for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no question. What's the studio? Is it Universal?
The studio is United Artists. Then production company is Rollins Joffe Productions.
It's United Artists, so it doesn't sound like a Bond title, but I mean, if it were, I'd say The Spy Who Loved Me, but I don't think that's it. Rollercoaster Named Desire.
Spy Who Loved Me was.
Yeah. Rollercoaster Named Desire. I'm gonna have to buzz out on that one. Sorry.
No, you're not. No, I'm not letting you buzz out.
Oh my gosh, let me think.
All right, I will give you the name of an actor in the movie. Carol Kane.
Blanking like crazy. Lenny? No, that's 74.
That's 74.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you another actor, Tony Roberts.
See, now I'm thinking, is it Manhattan?
No.
No,
Manhattan was 79. This is 77.
Are you sure? Because it was, Manhattan, who won Best Picture in 78? I thought that was Manhattan.
Manhattan did not win Best Picture.
Oh, Annie Hall.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Annie Hall.
Annie Hall. Yes, no,
I'm sitting. That's what I'm sitting there. It's like, wait, Best Picture for Woody Allen. No, you're right. Okay, I right church, wrong pew. There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I feel better. I was dyslexically right on that one.
Exactly. So thank you for playing.
That was fun. It was more fun than I was terrified of not having fun with.
Exactly. Well, I think later in the season it's going to get harder for people.
Yeah.
But I do try and choose movies that I think that my guest has heard of.
You know, yeah, my favorite missed title is the there was no word in Portuguese for Psycho, so when they released the movie in Portugal, they retitled it The Man Who Thought He Was His Mother, which is like calling your show calling Citizen Kane Rosebud the Sled. So
that's right, exactly. All right, so tell people where they can find you.
Well, hopefully not a final time. We'll do this again sometime, I'm sure.
But,
This season, yes. Please join us after you've listened to Rob's show, which you should be listening to carefully. The place to go after that is to go listen to our show. Hal Bryan and I have a show called The October Sky Minute, where we talk about the 1999 Joe Johnston directed feature all about Homer Hickam. And in fact, we have Homer Hickam on for a couple of episodes. So please check us out. Easy to find us, octoberskyminute.com, or wherever you're listening to Rob's shows, you can find us probably in the neighborhood. So check us out.
All right, great. This is always a great point to talk about that if anyone is interested in more Movies by Minute, there is a website called moviesbyminute.com. You can go there and find, I think as of recording, probably about 240 different movies that have already been analyzed Movies by Minute. You can always find hopefully you can find your favorite movie there. And as Jim always says, if you don't find a movie there, then hey, why don't you start your own podcast and do it minute by minute? There are a lot of us out there in this community. We have a Facebook group where people will give advice. They'll help out, possibly even be guests on your show, like most of us already do.
join us. Yeah. But yeah, please come in. Yeah, join moviesbyminutes.com, real easy to find. And it's like eating salted peanuts. You can't have just one. You got to have another and another. That's the way it gets. And Rob and I are living examples of that. So yeah, please join us over at moviesbyminutes.com or on our Facebook page, which easy to find. Just type Movies by Minutes and it'll pop up.
That's right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Jim, thank you very much once again for joining me this season and joining me all week. I had a great time. I know you're rushing to go to your vacation tomorrow, or that you've at least been talking about planning it.
I'm carefully planning it. We're all set.
Exactly. I'm glad. And don't drive as fast as either John or Zeus. That's my advice to you.
taking surface streets, and I'm not following any ambulances.
There you go. Very, very great. Smart move. I will be back.
Again, Rob, appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But have a great weekend, everyone. And until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.